Anyway.
Lightning crashes.
Julie, please.
All right. Well, okay. So when this theme came up, there was pretty much only one story I could find it in my heart to tell because I think the maybe single phrase I've heard my mom say to me the most times in my life is, it's not the end of the world. Because I was a huge, huge worrier as a kid. Like, you think I worry now? I was the most anxious child that maybe ever existed. And just, like, my entire childhood, I think, probably consisted of my mom reassuring me of stuff that was not nearly as imminent as I thought it was. So just, like, I think any time there was any sort of, like, safety awareness day at school was probably the biggest nightmare for her. every time I learned a new piece of information about anything, I would come home with just, like, worst-case scenarios, like, spouting out of me. You know, like, oh no, fire hazard day. We learned about power lines. We learned one day the sun was going to go out. just whatever the information was, she would have to come up with some way to make it seem like it wasn't that imminent, or, you know, she'd inevitably end up saying it's not the end of the world. And then that would get me thinking about the end of the world, which scared me, like, more than anything else. These guys know that I saw the movie Armageddon for the first time as we were preparing to start this process because I refused to watch or even listen to a synopsis of the plot of anything relating to an end of the world story when I was a kid. And I've gotten better. I made it through the movie and I didn't have nightmares when we watched it. But I still have tendencies toward this today. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather today, and I was just sitting at work coming up with a list in my head of every terminal disease I could have. and just trying to figure out what I would do first when I was diagnosed with something awful. Well, you've never done this.
I totally do that.
I've done it, but I wouldn't say often.
Yeah.
This is normal behavior.
Totally.
A little.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're in a room of non-judging.
That's true. Yeah. No one read the thing where we say we don't put anybody down at Nerd Alone.
Yeah.
Alex, we dropped the ball on that one.
But I think probably the most definitive moment in this process of fear was when in my second grade class when somehow it came up what carbon monoxide was. Which to a kid who's never heard of it is like the scariest thing. It's like this odorless, undetectable, you can't see it, you can't smell it, whatever substance that just kills you. And so I came home just panicking about carbon monoxide, and my parents tried to reassure me that, you know, it's not very common and you would have to put the car in the garage with the door closed even to have a problem with it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, my grandparents had carbon monoxide poisoning in their house. And they were fine. but we got the, so immediately, like, right after I learned what this was, they were affected by it. And we got these, in response to that, in our house, we got these, the monitors, which we hadn't had before. They have a little digital readout of what your carbon monoxide level is. And so that was a new fascination for me. As a 7-year-old. And so I would like systematically check this detector every night before I went to bed. And like, it was in my parents' little hallway before their bedroom. And so I come in there in the middle of the night and wake them up because I was panicking, and I would sneak in there and look at the detector, whatever. And this all fueled into my anxiety. And I there were so many things, and I guess at some point my parents ended up actually taking me to some kind of child psychologist. And I was like 8 years old. I would assume this had to do with some sort of anxiety. And I never really understood like why I was going or whatever. Just that it was like they took me out of school to go, and it was next door to a Burger King, and go to this office.
The important facts.
And there were like toys in the room.
I'm depressed when I go to Burger King.
we all are. But I never, like, I was just sort of there, and I still to this day don't know if I can't really get any information out of my mom about why I was there, and I don't know if I was diagnosed with some, like, junior-size anxiety disorder or whatever, but one thing that she said to me after I'd been going for a little while was, well, you know there's carbon monoxide in the air every day. It comes out of the car exhaust
pipes. Oh, no.
and it goes out into the air, and so you're breathing it in every single day, and you're still alive. And first, I considered how I was going to go through the rest of my life, like, never breathing again. but after a certain period of time, I realized that that's actually true, and that this harmful substance in small quantities is just around us every day in the air. And that's, you know, when you kind of get down to thinking about the world ending, that's sort of what it is that every day there's these small things that are happening, and everything in the world is harmful for us in some way. And these tiny things were a step closer to global warming, rating depressing every single day. but we keep living through it, and it's a small part in a larger whole of things that aren't bad.
How do you feel about flying, Julie? Sincere question.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's funny. That's also something that used to absolutely terrify me as a kid, and now I am okay with it.
I still hate it.
I do, too.
I can't breathe under people's air for
really?
That long.
Honestly, God, like, I do not think it's an accident.
Imagine me sitting still in a cylinder flying through the air for hours.
I tweeted this as a joke, but I don't think this is an accident. I think you
Super
can map
jittery.
The
wow.
rise of existential philosophy and commercial airline flights. They kind of come about at the same time, and I doubt that is a mistake.
I love Louis C.K.'s take on it, though. Have you ever heard his stand-up about how he hates hearing people complain about airlines, about flights, where he's
because
like...
Because it's a freaking
like,
miracle.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
We sat on the tarmac for 45 minutes. He's like, and then were you lifted in the air and flew through it while sitting on a chair? Because that's magic!
Yeah, but if you watch... I mean, if you watch Louis, you saw that episode where him and that huge, burly man have that near-death experience on the plane.
Yeah.
And then just get off the plane like, yep, all right.
Nice
day. Yeah.
See, now, Julie, was your family one of those families that had a fire emergency plan? Because my family was not, and I kept trying to insist that we have one, because I also am a big worrier and an extreme follower of rules.
Oh, yeah, me too. But you know what? We didn't. It's weird, because we didn't have a fire emergency plan or anything like that, but my mom, when I was a kid, and I would ride in it, when I was, like, a young enough kid to have a car seat, and I would ride in other people's cars, she would make them take our car seat.
My mom is, like, the same way. When I rode in a van for mission trip, she was like, you have to make sure that you are not sitting in the middle seat or in the front seat. You have to sit in the back seat near the back window, because that is the seat least likely for someone to die in.
Oh, my God. My mom still gets mad at me if I drive in flip-flops.
As a child, when I insisted on us having a fire emergency plan, my mom was like, we don't need one of those.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, but yeah, if I drive in flip-flops now, I still have to take a second pair of shoes out of the house just to make her think I'm not driving in flip-flops. It's just easier.
But you still drive in flip-flops? Nice.
I didn't want to interject in the middle of your monologue, but I know that you are a warrior and a little bit of a hypochondriac, and like, you should just make sure your web browser blocks WebMD.
WebMD,
yeah. Oh, I've long been banned, personally banned by myself from WebMD.
Shit.
You do not buy a copy of Our Bodies Ourselves either, because you will think you have every lady disease ever known.
Been there, sister.
Every lady disease. And now, class, we'll be learning about lady disease.
I had a really bad flu one summer, and I convinced myself that I had toxic shock syndrome.
Oh, boy.
I was, like, asking everyone who would come visit me if they thought my hands looked sunburned, because that's, like, a symptom of TSS. I was like, do my palms look sunburned to you?
I knew a girl who had that.
It's scary stuff.
It's, like, so uncommon, but I knew a girl who had it in high school.
Yeah.
I got really into Trump movies one summer. I had Toxic Avenger Syndrome.
There you go.